Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you it's there to teach us, to help us, to encourage us in our prayers, in our relationship with you. And as we think about that phrase, give us today our daily bread in the Lord's Prayer, help us to understand what you want to say to us. Guide my words and guide our hearts and minds by your Spirit. Amen. Well, we're going through a series on the Lord's Prayer. This is the third one, and we've got to that phrase, give us today our daily bread. And I chose the passage from Matthew 6 that George just read because I think it talks about God's provision for us and why we shouldn't worry. And so it fits quite closely with that phrase, give us today our daily bread. And actually, if you're aware of how the Bible fits together, Matthew 5-7 is actually the Sermon on the Mount. So it's Jesus' teaching at one point. And it combines both the Lord's Prayer, which comes in the middle of chapter 6, where Jesus says, this is how you should pray. And then it goes on and talks about why not to worry. And it comes on to that passage that George read to us. And actually, worry or anxiety is an increasing problem in our society. Apparently, in a survey in 2019, they measured the amount of anxiety in the world around and or in our country. And particularly women in the age range of 18 to 25, it was said that 30% were suffering from some kind of anxiety. And it wasn't just that age group and just women, it was across all age groups and across all women. There had been a big increase in anxiety. Apparently, even as recently as 2008, women in that age group, it was only 8% suffered from anxiety. And that was in 2019. And since 2019, we've had COVID, we've had the cost of living crisis, and maybe you can think of other things to make you feel anxious. Match of a day being cancelled, maybe is one of them. Although whether that affects women in 18 to 25 age bracket, I'm not sure. Anxiety is an increasing problem. And if you read the papers and look at the media, all sorts of reasons are given and discussed as to why that might be. So one of the big things that people talk about is social media. So I said there's a big increase between 2008 and 2019. One of the things that's changed in our society in that time was the introduction of social media. Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, and whatever other ones you can think of. And of course, smartphones became widely spread in that time as well. And so young people particularly are constantly on their phones, constantly seeing what other people are putting, and it creates a greater sense of anxiety within them. That's certainly one of the reasons. Another reason people give is that in 2008, there was the financial crisis. And so actually there's pressure on people in terms of their wealth and their pay and their job certainty and so on that's made it harder for people, particularly the poorer end, and creating more anxiety. Adding to that, increasing polarization in society, which might also be linked with social media. So you've got issues like Brexit, remember that? And the big polarization there was between those that are pro-Brexit and those anti-Brexit, that caused a lot of anxiety and stress. And of course, it carries on, doesn't it? There's other bigger issues in the world, worries and concerns about war in Ukraine, or climate change and what's happening there. Are you feeling anxious now? There's lots of things to be worried about, but how do we as Christians respond to all of that? Well, Jesus says in that passage that George read to us, do not be anxious. He actually says that six times. And the word for worry or anxiety only appears 27 times in the New Testament. So Jesus is really ramming it home here. Don't be anxious, don't be anxious. And he gives us lots of reasons for that. And in the passage, it's all about concerns over material possessions, our basic needs, food in our stomachs and clothes on our back. Jesus says, don't worry about those things. These have been very important worries and concerns for people at that time, particularly in the first century, where their standard of living was way, way below ours. The chances of going hungry were much more greater than anyone in our society. The ability to get hold of decent clothes was much harder. There was real concerns, real worry over these practical, basic needs. And throughout the Bible, the antidote to worry is said to be prayer. So in Philippians, we've had this already a couple of times in the service, this great verse, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And Peter in 1 Peter 5, 7 says, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. One of the reasons there may be an increase in anxiety in our society is that people have stopped praying. The number of people coming to church has decreased rapidly in the last few decades. The visibility of spirituality on our media has decreased rapidly. People don't pray, and people are more anxious. That won't be a reason you'll read in the papers, but is that one of the reasons why people are more anxious today? Prayer is the antidote to worry. And in prayer, you see, what we're doing, in prayer we're expressing our goals, our desires to God, what we think should happen in the world. And the more you pray to God, and the more you think about that and reflect on that and pray in line with the Bible, the more your goals become aligned to God's goals. And when that happens, anxiety decreases. Because with the right attitude and the right focus on life. And prayer is not just an expression of our goals in life, but also an expression of trust in the God who we call our Father in heaven. Trust that he is worried, he is concerned for our concerns. Trust that he'll look out for us and care for us. So I want to think about those two ideas, the goals that we pray for and the trust in God in light of both that phrase, our Father, give us today our daily bread, and what we taught in Matthew 25 onwards, Matthew 6, 25 onwards. And the first thing to say is this, prayer is an expression of our goals, but wealth is a false goal. So notice Jesus doesn't say, pray that you'll win the lottery. He doesn't say, pray that your business will be incredibly successful and you'll earn lots of money. He doesn't say, pray that some distant cousin that you never heard of dies and leaves you a lot of money. He doesn't say, pray for wealth. He says, pray for daily bread. Pray for your basic needs. And actually, before the bit that George read to us, Jesus says, do not store up for yourself treasures in heaven, on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves riches and treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. And he goes on and says, no one can serve two masters. Either you will love the one and hate the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Then he says, therefore, do not be anxious. In other words, Jesus is saying that if you get your priorities right, if you stop running after money, if you stop running after wealth, if you stop seeking to serve money and wealth, but rather seek to serve God, then your goals will change and be aligned differently, and actually your anxieties and your worries will diminish. Jesus, when in his prayer, is actually picking up on a proverb, or this little prayer that comes towards the end of Proverbs. And the prayer says this, keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Notice that phrase, give me only my daily bread. That's where Jesus got his prayer from. In a way, it wasn't that original. Was picking up on the teaching of the Old Testament. But look at the reasons that that prayer is for. So giving me only my daily bread is saying, actually, don't make me poor. God, I don't want to be poor. And God, I don't want to be rich. Now, most of us would want to pray, God, don't make me poor. Is that fair enough? But actually, maybe we're not so sure about praying, don't make me rich. But he says, look, if I become too rich, then I will disown you, God, and say, who is the Lord? What's he saying there? Why would that be? Well, if I become too rich and too wealthy, I become secure, I become reliant on my possessions, on my wealth, for my pension. I don't become reliant on God, and so I forget God. Wealth can be a trap that draws us away from God, away from dependence on him. And the person who prays this prayer is saying, I don't want that. And Jesus, when he says pray, says don't pray for wealth, pray for your daily needs, your basic needs, your daily bread. He said, I don't want to be poor either, because if I become poor, then I might become desperate and start stealing things, and that would be to go against your will and dishonor you, God. And actually, of course, God doesn't want us to be poor, so poor that we can't even feed ourselves or our family. It's right to pray against that, not to pray for too much wealth. So do you see how, as we focus on God and as we pray in line with God's goals, that actually our focus becomes away from wealth, away from money, and away and towards contentment for what we have. But secondly, this also is a prayer for social justice. Interestingly, Martin Luther, you might have heard of him, he was a German theologian of the 15th and 16th centuries that was very much at the forefront of the Reformation, trying to bring the church back to the true good news of the gospel from what it had become under medieval Catholicism. But he said about this phrase, give us today our daily bread. Notice that it's our daily bread. It's not just an individualistic prayer. It's not just a concern for my needs. It's a concern for all of society. And actually a concern that no one in our society goes without their basic food. It's a prayer for social justice. And Martin Luther pushed this in quite an extreme way. He wasn't slow in coming forward with things. And he said, look, if you're someone that goes around oppressing people, if you go around taking money off people so they don't have their daily breads, or maybe not paying your workers so they don't have the food in order that you can get rich, then when the church prays, give us today our daily bread, actually the church is praying against you. You're standing up against the prayers of the whole church that Jesus has taught them to pray. This is a prayer for social justice. And maybe in our world, as we're more aware of the needs of the whole world, a prayer for justice across the world. There are people today going without food at all. But also, as an expression of goals, we need to get this in context, don't we? So Jesus, when he's talking about don't be anxious and worrying about running after possessions and food and clothes and everything else, he sort of sums it up in verse 33 by saying, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. In other words, what should be your priority? What should be your main goal? Well, actually, your main goal shouldn't just be material things. He says it earlier on, life is more than the food you eat and the clothes on your back. Actually, our main goal should be God's kingdom and his righteousness. And do you see that in the Lord's Prayer, that's how Jesus structures the prayer? He doesn't start with, our Father in heaven, please make sure I've got enough food today. He says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done. The priority of the prayer is for God's kingdom and his righteousness. It's focusing those goals in the right priority, in the right order, and it's saying, but yes, you'd still need your daily bread. God knows that. God cares for you in that. And as he says in verse 43, those things will be given to you as well. Don't worry about those things, because God will give them to you. But when you're praying for your goals, pray for what matters to God. Pray for what God wants. And that can be things like, pray God that you'd help me to start living a better life. Pray God that you'd help me to stop doing this sin that I keep doing, whatever that might be. Pray God that you'll give me the strength and the patience to help this person that I struggle to help. Pray God that you would help our church to grow in the right ways, with people coming to really trust in you and know you. Pray God that you would help us to really live out in a different way to the world what it means to follow you. Pray God that we will truly love our neighbor and love you with all our heart and soul and mind and strength. Pray God that we will love one another in a way that truly shows that your kingdom has come and you are at work amongst us. Those are the kinds of prayers that should be our goal and our priority. not forgetting that we need our daily bread, but seeking those things first. And that should mark us out as different to the world around, because Jesus says, look, the pagans run after all these things. Where's that food? Where's the thing? They worry about those things. They're concerned about those things, but don't make that your prime concern. Make God's kingdom your prime concern. And God will help you with those things as well. So prayer is an expression of goals, but we need to get the right goals, the right priorities, and goals that align with God's goals. And the Lord's Prayer helps us do that in a fantastic way. He puts the kingdom first, but then prays for our needs as important as well. The prayer is also an expression of trust, trust in the God who is our Father in heaven. And it's a trust in God's care. And that's really what Jesus is trying to say here when he's saying, do not worry. Do not worry because you know, don't you, that God cares for you. And he uses these beautiful, well-known phrases, doesn't he? I might have one of them come up on the screen. Here we go. Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? You know, the birds don't have bank accounts, don't have pension schemes, they're not signed up with the NHS, and yet they get the food they need and the support they need. Jesus said God cares for them, but he cares much more for you. If he's going to care for them, isn't he going to really look out for you? Don't you know how much he loves you? How much he's concerned for you, and being concerned for you, concerned for your daily practical needs. But later on we're going to share the bread and wine and remind ourselves that Jesus died for us on the cross. God sent his only Son for us. That's how committed he is to us. That's how much he values us. That's how much he cares for us. And if he does all that for us, then can't we trust him to look out for our basic needs as well? Prayer is an expression of trust. When you trust in God to look out for your needs. And that prayer, give us today our daily bread, is an expression of trust that God will give us what we need today. He will support us in that. He will help us in that. Secondly, prayer is an expression of trust in God's future. Notice he says, give us today our daily bread. It doesn't say, Lord, can you make sure I'm okay tomorrow? It didn't say, Lord, can you make sure I'm okay still on Friday? Or next month, or next week, or my pension will be okay. No, it says, give us today our daily bread. Why is he saying that? What's Jesus getting on about here? Why the focus on just today and our needs for just today rather than the needs in the future? Well, the end of chapter 6, he says in verse 34, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day is enough trouble of its own. That's a great verse. I didn't know that verse. It's a wonderful verse, isn't it? It's sort of cynical in a way. And yet so powerful as well. You see, what anxiety is anxiety so often is worrying about tomorrow. It's imagining things in the future going incredibly badly. Do you do that? I know I catch myself doing it quite often. You imagine all the worst possible things that could happen. And actually, they often don't happen. And Jesus is saying, look, don't get caught up with what might go wrong in the future. We don't actually know what will happen in the future. That's in God's hands. Be focused on the present. Be focused on today. And let the future worry about itself. Now, I don't think Jesus is saying don't plan ahead. We need to do that. He's not saying stop paying into your pension pot or, you know, stop paying your mortgage or whatever. We need to think about the future in those sort of terms. And Jesus thought about the future. You know, he trained up 12 disciples to make the church happen in the future. But it's this issue of worry. Focusing too much on what's going to come. Do you go to bed at night sort of worrying about tomorrow? That's not helpful, is it? Jesus, in the prayer, says, give us today our daily bread, focuses us on the presence, deals with the issues of now. And he wants us to trust that God will be there for us in the future. And actually, this picks up on an idea which God taught the Israelites right back in Exodus. You know, in the story of Exodus, God rescues the people of Israel under Moses' leadership from being slaves to Pharaoh. They go through the Red Sea and they go into the wilderness. Great, they're free. But suddenly they find themselves, here's a big group of people in the wilderness. Wait a minute, where are we going to get our food from? And they're worried, they're anxious, they're grumbling and everything. And they go to Moses and say, where are we going to get our food from? How are we going to survive here? And God responds and says, I will provide. And he sends quail in the evening, and quail are like small chickens. They didn't have big chickens in those days. They were in China. And all the quail came, and they had lots of meat to eat. And in the mornings, they found these flakes on the ground. And they collected the flakes, and they had enough to feed themselves. It was called manna. And it was sort of sweet to taste and everything else. And Moses said, go out and collect all this manna. Collect enough for you and your family to eat for today. But don't keep any overnight. And so what happens? Well, some people thought, well, we've got food today, but I'm not sure about tomorrow. We'll keep some. Just keep a little bit over, you know, keep a bit over so we definitely got food for tomorrow. And what happened the next day? They got up in the morning and it was all rotten and mangy and full of maggots and everything else. Now, apparently maggots are quite good food, but I don't think that was the point. They didn't trust God. They were worried about tomorrow rather than just focusing on what God was providing that day. And God was using that to teach them a lesson. You know, pray for what I'll give you today. Pray for what I'll provide you today. And then tomorrow will be another day, and I'll provide then as well. But don't worry about that, because I'm there to provide. Just focus on the now. Focus on the present. Stop being anxious about the future. Stop worrying about that. So do you see how God's prayer, this Lord's Prayer, is a beautiful prayer that helps us focus on the right goals. God's kingdom first. Not to have lots of wealth, but just enough to make us content. And not just for me, but for the whole of society. As a prayer that trusts in God, trusts that he will care for us, he will provide our needs, and that he will be there tomorrow. So it just focuses us on today. Give us today our daily bread. And if we can get in the mindset of the Lord's Prayer, if our relationship with God expresses those goals and expresses that trust, then prayer will take away the anxiety and the worries that we feel. Maybe the reason today there's so much anxiety is partly that we've forgotten to pray. We've forgotten to turn to God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we can pray. We thank you that we can turn to you. We thank you that we can trust in you to provide because you value us. Help us to be people that I'm not worrying about the future, but focused on the present and rejoicing in your provision. Help us to be for people who have the right goals, not for wealth and plenty, but for just enough to live on. And not concerned just about ourselves, but concerned for all of society. In your name we pray. Amen.